Praise during a pandemic. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Did anybody know that? A couple of you. Praise during a pandemic. And I was just meditating on Psalm 63. So if you have your Bible, you want to turn there, or you can look on the screen and follow through with us on the screen. Praise. Listen, a pandemic cannot stop our praise. No more than a famine can hinder our faith. Right? That's what we've been dealing with since this thing started. So how to release praise today is our topic as a weapon against the enemy. And last time we spoke of the garment of praise, Isaiah 61:3, and we said that praise is a garment. It's something that we cover ourselves with. It's something we wrap up in. It leaves no openings. How many know if you'll praise the Lord, cover yourself with the garment of praise, it will protect you. Especially, how many have ever been have a need to be protected from yourself? Anybody? You know, there's lots of different things coming at us, but sometimes we need help to be protected from our own self. And so that's what this garment does. We said we also spoke about the armor of praise, the armor of God, the same kind of protective covering, and we said it had to put it on as well, and that praise repels and replaces a heavy spirit and gives hope and a faith-filled perspective. We need to learn how to release praise to a greater level. How many want to love him and praise him more and more? Absolutely. And that's our goal, is to get into a new level of intimacy with the Lord. So today, Psalm 63, 1 through 11. If you're there, shout amen. All right. Here we go. Oh God, you are my God. I love how personal that is. Amen. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I mean, no, it's good to bless you, the Lord, while you're alive. Even if you're half dead, it's still good to bless him. Amen. Bless him while you live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. How many ever have to just meditate on the Lord in the midnight hour? Absolutely. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king, David's saying, I am the king. The king shall rejoice in God, and everybody who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Psalm 63. Wow. Well, I'll go through that for you since we didn't do that. I do it myself here, but there it is, all the way through to verse 11. And boom. Expressing praise releases the blessing of praise. If you learn how to express praise, no matter your situation, say, what is David's situation? Well, in Psalm 63, it's not the best day for King David. His son Absalom has set up a rebellion against his own father, against the king of Israel, stood at the gate, knocking the king, saying things such as, if I were the judge of Israel, this is what I would do for you. How many know there is such a thing called an Absalom spirit? And there are people who are longing for some position, for power, for prestige, for making a name for themselves so badly that they would just crucify their own family if they could. In fact, we know King Nero back in Roman days, right? He'd kill his own mother. He'd kill anybody just to remain king. And this is how he was. His son Absalom needed to be affirmed so bad he rebelled against his own father, thought he can do better. And so this is what's going on. David has to flee Israel, and his son raises up thousands against his father, against not only his father but the king of Israel. And they go after him, pursuing him in the wilderness. David is having a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day? Of course you did. And so this is just the way it is right here. And David in verse 3, I would like to reread that for you. It says, because your loving kindness, your kindness to me is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Now, back in 2006, I went to the Dream Center in Los Angeles, and I don't know if you have that queued up to be able to play that, but I heard a song, comes right out of the psalm. It's a little rocky. I hope you like it, but it was there. I think Tori was there with me at that time, and I just fell in love with this song. It's right out of the scripture. Listen to it. Come on, clap your hands and help me now. Sing it.
Your love, your ways, Jesus.
Give the Lord praise, would you? You don't know until you've been to the Dream Center in Los Angeles. They rock the house. You certainly wouldn't leave there bored to death. A bunch of young people. But I thought it's interesting to pull this song back up after, 14 years? Basically, the writers of this band got together and they took scripture and made it come alive. When you are praiser, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to make up something. We can be creative, and we can be creative in our praise. But I know the whole book of Psalm gives you everything in the world to praise the Lord about. We're looking at David's life this morning, and we were breaking this psalm down to teach us how to express praise and release the blessing in our life. And this is not a secret prayer of contemplation. This is not a quiet meditation by himself. This is visible and vocal and verbal. And David is expressing himself to God. Verse 5 says, my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. You see his mouth praising. You see his hands raising. There's a whole lot going on here. And throughout the series, we've been saying that praise must be audible, visual, right? People could see it, hear it. You could see it. You could hear it. The devil can hear it. The devil can see you praising the Lord. Amen. And it just builds faith. It increases. It releases something in your spirit, man, when you learn how to praise the Lord. So I want to take a closer look at the fruit of David's praise in the middle of this desert. He's running from the enemy, his own son. And the first thing he says is, God, you are my God. This is an affirmed relationship. When you're down and when somebody's against you, how many know you need to reaffirm your love and your relationship with God? How many know we've been adopted into the kingdom of God? How many know Jesus paid a ransom for you and I to be called sons of God, daughters of God? We are his people. So the psalmist is reaffirming the relationship. God, you are my God. It's very personal. It's very intimate. And then he says, early will I seek you, or earnestly will I seek you. It's a very clear priority. There's nothing more important in David's life than to seek the Lord, to call on the Lord. It doesn't matter if Absalom has rebelled. It doesn't matter. In fact, Psalm 27 says, even if my mother and father forsake me, I know that you are the stronghold of my life. He begins to praise the Lord early. He makes it a priority no matter what's going on in his life. Thirdly, he says I went backwards. I'm sorry that happens. My flesh longs for you. This is a deep intensity. He's saying, no, I'm just not worshiping you with my heart, with my soul. Everything about me, all of me, is worshiping all of you. How many are ready to give God a praise this morning? All of me is ready to give God a praise for all of him, for who he is and for what he does. There's not this shallow kind of worship level. There's not this just lifeless, boring kind of church activity. When they get to the house of the Lord, we are ready to worship the Lord. Amen? We are praising God with our whole being. It's a deep, deep intensity. Then he goes on. He says, I look for you in the sanctuary. This is corporate worship. David reminds himself as he's hiding in caves, hiding out from a vicious son and a kingdom throne. He's enthroned with being on the throne. He loves position more than he loves his own family or his God. He doesn't care about Israel. He just wants a title. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And this wild man is chasing after his own father. He can care less about his own father. And while David is hiding, he's picturing in his mind the sanctuary of the Lord. That tells me that you can praise the Lord anywhere at any given time. It means that you can go into your heart, into your spirit, into your mind's eye, and begin to have an eternal perspective of a glorious God. How many know you can see Jesus? If John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, Paul saw Jesus in the prison cell. How many know you can see him wherever you find yourself in the middle of a problem or a pandemic? So David loved to worship together with the people of God. And we've been talking about this corporately. Because he said, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I keep going backwards. I'm so sorry. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. This is appropriate gratitude. Appropriate gratitude. This is something that when you learn how to be grateful and thankful, you can be thankful for God in any environment, anywhere you go. So, well, if you only praise the Lord when things are good, the check's coming in, and there is no corona, and there is no problem, there is no hurricane or tropical storm, not one but two coming at you. How many know you got to learn how to praise God in everything, not for everything? I remember the early charismatic renewal, they used to say, praise God for the hurricane. How many know that's just insanity? We don't praise God for hurricanes. We praise God in the hurricane because we believe our God's going to get us through. Amen? And so this appropriate an attitude of gratitude. Remember, entering his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, it releases the praise. It's an appropriate way to worship the Lord. And all of this comes from a genuine heart. The question becomes, how do you praise God under such tremendous pressure? And I'm not sure what pressures you're under this morning, but all of this comes from a genuine hunger and thirst for God when we pursue him in the desert and being transformed to another level of praise, being transformed to another level of worship when you can see him in the sanctuary, the God of power in the sanctuary. How many know God has not changed? Doesn't matter what you're facing this morning. How many believe God is still all-powerful, almighty, and can do all things? He still deserves all praise. So we receive his love as we release our praise to him. We receive his love at all times. But the result is our soul is satisfied in the Lord. David found a way in the pressure that he was going through, having his own son betray him and follow him and chase him down after, you know, we already know that King Saul did the same thing, right? So how many know the more you go in with God, the more you learn how to become a praiser, the more you know how to have peace and joy in the middle of being hunted down like a wild man. David learned this. He learned how to sing in the cave and sing under the tree. He learned how to sing when he was a shepherd. He learned how to sing when he was a king. How many know you have to learn how to praise the Lord at all times? At all times, in the middle of whatever your pressure is. And So I'm not sure if you're concerned about sending your kids to school. I know it's next week, or some of you already been there. And I know sure there's some pressures. I know there's some unanswered questions. But how many know you can still praise God to protect your children no matter what? Right? And if you're in sports, maybe you're pressured to win. You know, maybe you're pressured, you're scared that you're going to get something playing sports. There's a lot of things going on. Starting college, you're feeling the pressure. Some colleges started already shut down. It's hard to know what to do in the middle of this pandemic, right? Maybe you finished college and you don't know what's going to happen. Where am I going to go? Where's my life going to take me? What career am I going to have? Maybe you're single looking to be married. Maybe you're married looking to be single. Not sure what your pressures are, but family pressures, maybe they're inside. Maybe they're outside. We're there. Seems like no answers. We're there. Not knowing what to do with my family, my in-laws. But God gives us wisdom one day at a time. Amen? How many know the Lord's going to see us through and we're going to make it? You just got to keep giving God praise one day at a time. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to figure it all out. But in the middle of worldwide problems, personal problems, family problems, in the middle of it all, one thing will determine the course of your life, according to King David, and that is the priority to keep praising God no matter what. Would you help me give him praise? Keep on praising him no matter what the pressure you're facing. So your priorities determine that you spend time with God. It determines how you make decisions. Man, I think Absalom found out real quick. You can look at it back in 2 Samuel. Not every, you know, it might be an idea, a beautiful ideal to be king. But how many know Absalom found out real quick one day as the king, you got a lot of pressures to deal with. And people who aspire and move after position without personal wisdom from God, how many know you'd be up a creek without a paddle? And David knew how to handle it because from a very young age, he knew how to keep priority in praise to God. Amen? And so your priorities determine, and you make up your mind and you praise God no matter what. Priorities, godly priorities are critical in this day we live in. So what does David do during the worst times of his life when his son is coming against him? He writes a psalm. He writes Psalm 63. Powerful. He writes many of them, but I don't know. What would you write? What song would you write if you were in a situation as David? You know, get me out of here, God. There's a big top number one hit, right? But David, he wrote Psalm 3, so he knew. There's some other psalms that he did complain about. He did show forth all of the pain of his suffering, asking God to bring harm to the enemies that are against him. How many know it's okay to talk to God about anything? David was a prayer warrior, but that prayer turned into praise, and that praise turned into peace. And I want us to look at it real quickly because it's God, you know, God, take me out of here is not always going to be the answer. In the middle of pandemic, you got to learn how to praise the Lord anyway, right? So I wonder if David had some thoughts as I contemplated this. I wonder if he said now, Lord, I'm the king of Israel. You called me from a little young man, made me king. You prepared me. You equipped me. And now here you allow my son to chase me out of Israel into a cave. And I just wondered if he had those kind of moments. Not in Psalm 63. You don't see it. In fact, what blows my mind, I find very interesting, is that there is no petitions in Psalm 63. How many ever just wake up and just want to praise the Lord? Don't want to ask him for anything. You understand? This is what's going on. David found satisfaction and in the Lord. And so we're here and we see him, and he's longing for God's presence. He's longing for God's praise and God's joy and fellowship. His confidence is in God's salvation. You don't see him asking, pleading, crying like Psalm 3. It's a different psalm. In other words, what David outlines by priority here is that God is my desire. God is my desire. So, not working. I'm clicking, but no, nothing's happening. It's okay. God is my desire, verses 1 through 4. He's saying, hey, no matter what's happening in my life, God is my desire. Thank you. Let's see if it's working now. He says, God is my desire. This is what a praiser looks like. He's saying that no matter what's going on in my life, God, you are my God. Early will I rise up and seek you. His mind, he's got a God consciousness going on. His mind is on the Lord. He decides to take whatever's happening to him and focus himself on the Lord, so much so that his only desire is the Lord. And then he said, God is my delight, in verses 5 through 8. He said, I praise you with my lips. I praise you with my hands. I praise you. He said, you are my delight. How many love the Lord and delight in the Lord? Look what the Lord said. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's the word of God. Delight yourself in the Lord and what? He will give you the desires of your heart. The Lord is always there. He loves to be praised. He loves to be delighted in. It's a relationship that David wants and God wants. And then finally, God is my defense, verses 9 through 11. He says, I see how you're going to take care of my enemies. So God, you're my God. I rise up early and seek you. You're my priority. I will lift my voice. I will lift my lips. We will praise you, right? Because of your loving kindness. Because you love me so much, I'm going to love you back. How many is ready to love the Lord more and more? So David had only one job to do, and that was to seek the Lord. So how does a person look who praises the Lord? Let me wrap it up. I know it's not going to be long today. I give you all the strength I've got, right? And so it looks like that some people think that praisers or worshipers are mystical, a little bit weird, and maybe so. Sometimes they're out of touch with reality, it seems like. But there are people like that who want attention. You know, I had a lady one time came and said, Pastor, the Lord has told me that I'm going to fly my flag right front and center on the platform. And I said, well, honey, the Lord hadn't told me that yet. And I don't want you to be hindered in your praise. But you march yourself right up these stairs and fly your flag all over the balcony if you want to. To which she didn't want to because she wanted to be seen. I mean, no, there are people who want to be seen. I'm not talking about people who want to be seen. I'm talking about people who want to get God's attention. Now, God can see you. Amen? God can see you. So praisers are not mystical or weird or out of touch with reality. But a real praiser is always prioritizing God, putting God at the center of their life. It gives you balance and stability. It gives you perspective in the middle of your crisis and not position conscious. David was king, but the son wanted the throne. So if you're always chasing something more than God, how many know you're out of alignment? How many know you want the king more than you want the kingdom throne? And that's where Absalom went wrong. And so I want to look at four things that David, that a praiser looks like. They have a deep inner satisfaction. A deep inner satisfaction. David had a satisfaction that didn't come from being king of Israel. And I know some people seek after that, right? They think that the goal in life is to be the king, the leader. And they are so naive and they don't know what leadership means. And when they get there, how many know it's good to let them have it for a little bit? Maybe they'll realize it's not all they wished it to be. And so it's a deep inner satisfaction, verse 5. They never complacent, but his soul is at rest in the middle of chaos. And many people would fall apart being hunted down like David, being lied on by their own son, Absalom, betraying him at the gate. But David had an inner peace and a calm. Don't you desire that? How many of you have you ever eaten a big old prime rib? How do you feel after you eat a big old prime rib, baked potato salad, dessert, sweet tea? How do you feel right after that? You miserable? Miserable? Yeah, wonderful. How about taking a nap, right? Some of you ready to dismiss right now. But that's the feeling. It's like an inner satisfaction that's way greater than having a steak and baked potato, right? But many people like Absalom is chasing dreams and thrones and power, and David was chasing after God. Number two, they have an inward joy that is outwardly visible. He has an inward joy. My circumstance and my praise is not dependent upon my circumstances. If the only time you can really offer a praise to God is when things are going well for you, you haven't grown to the mature level of praise. You can praise God at all times. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So verse 5, verse 7, verse 11, said verse 5, my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Verse 7, the latter part, in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. And verse 11, the king rejoices in God. You see, David doesn't have to be on the throne to still hold the title of king. It's in his heart. He knows he's called of God. He don't have to prove anything. He don't have to worry about it. You don't have to sit on the chair to be known as the king. He said, I am king in my heart. God made me king. How many know that's inner joy? He don't have to prove anything to anybody. His joy was not based on outward circumstances. His whole world was falling apart, betrayed by his own son. But what did he do? What did he turn to? What did he have left? He said, your love is bigger than life. Your love, your loving kindness is bigger than my life. It doesn't matter whether my son takes the throne. It doesn't matter whether he chases me. It doesn't even matter if he catches me and kills me. My life belongs to the Lord. What a praise. What a strong inward joy that's visible to the outward man. And so he understood the covenant love that God had for him. Human love is constrained and conditioned. It's conditional. Yeah, Absalom only loved to a certain degree. Yeah, but God's love far exceeded Absalom's love. And yet when Joab wanted to go after Absalom and kill him, the King David, who had a sweetheart after God, said, deal gently with my son. I wonder how many of us would have allowed the enemy to harden our hearts and talk about retaliation and going back and give him what he deserves. But you know, God had his hand in that situation. How many know the rest of the story? Absalom goes out and comes pursuing his father. And I don't know where his army went. Absalom's army, the people of Israel, scattered. They weren't nowhere around him. Maybe they were running for their life. How many know if you will make friends with the world will leave you when you need them the most. And while he was riding on his mule, the only one on a mule, he gets caught between branches with his hair. How many know you ought to get a haircut like mine? It wouldn't have had a problem. His hair gets caught in the branches there, and there he hangs helplessly. How many know God will fight your battle? God will fend for you. God will, he will make it right. He will vindicate. Inner joy. You can't explain it apart from God's love. So God's love is based upon promise and power and peace. He governs our lives based on his love for us. We can't earn it. And guess what? We can't even lose it. You can't even lose it. Listen to me. Maybe online, you say, God doesn't love me. Listen, he loved you before you were lovable. And when you start doing well for God, he's not going to love you anymore because he loves you as much as he can possibly love you. He doesn't love you more when you do well, and he doesn't love you less when you do bad. How many know God's love is everlasting love? And David understood that, and he said, your love is better than my life. It's going to be all right because God loves me. It's powerful. And then inner stability. Listen to this. Inner stability is strength in a crisis. Wow. Praise helps you to release something that holds you strong. That's the garment of praise. That's the armor of the Lord. When you've done all you can to stand, stand therefore in the power of his might, knowing that God loves you and he's going to work it out for you in a crisis. You have been my help, he said. Your right hand holds me. The right hand, the hand of authority. The hand of authority. The king's right hand was a hand of authority. And nobody's going to do anything to you if the Lord holds you with his right hand. Nobody can do anything to you. I mean, no, you're in the hand of the Lord. And David's help came from God. He's steady in the storm because God was his anchor. So, Psalm 71:14, we're going to get that at the end here, but as for me, David said, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. I will praise you more and more, not less and less. We're living in a day where we're trying to do less and less, meet less and less, praise and worship less and less, read less and less, do less and less. How many know this is the day to do more and more? More and more, more praises, louder praises, greater praises. How many know God hasn't changed? He still deserves the greatest, highest praise. Amen? I will find fresh new ways to express my praise to God. Creative praise, not careless praise. Careless praise is just praise that's boring. And I came, you're lucky I showed up. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. How many know Oak Grove's not lucky you showed up? You had the privilege to be in the Lord's house. You had the privilege to come into the Lord's house and lift up holy hands and sing to the Lord. So, stability and strength. And then finally, eternal perspective and balance in life. David wasn't looking to get even with man, but he lived in light of eternity with God. He knew God would judge fairly and that the wicked would not win in the long run. How many know the Lord's going to have his way? He had one thing to do, rejoice in the Lord. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Amen? Let's stop and give God a praise. Let me get some water. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. That's the mindset David had. One thing to do, praise the Lord. He knew God chose him. He knew God called him. He knew that what God said about him was what it was. And God was going to do all that he could to complete what he started in his life. If God called you and gave you the throne, how many thinks he can take care of you? So David wasn't vacating the throne. He wasn't scared. God was going to make it right. Why? Because there's a bigger picture going on here. Eternal perspective. The longer I live, the more I understand that eternal perspective is about faith. If all you see is what you see down here, you can get discouraged. My goodness, your shout and your song and your praise can be snuffed out quickly by the slightest of little things. But if you have an eternal perspective, how many know God's going to help us with an eternal mindset? And he'll help us because he's a big God and he's got a whole lot of things going on. Say, well, Pastor, why do we praise the Lord if he doesn't need it? He has angels to worship him 24/7. Well, the Bible said God delights in praises of his creation, Psalm 149, 3 and 4. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp, for the Lord takes delight in his people. And he wants us to take delight in him. But he loves it when God's people praise him. He loves it. And when we praise, we're being obedient to God, Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. It's obedience. God demands we praise him right there, right? We're walking in obedience. Then praise helps us see and understand God in a deeper way. We take our eyes off of our circumstances, put them on the creator of all things, Psalm 150. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. You got to get your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our race. And then praise also puts credit where credit belongs. If you refuse to praise the Lord, that means you're losing faith. You're not believing that God can work it out. Does anybody here believe that God's going to work this whole thing out? Anyone think we're going to get past the elections and make it and live and move forward? Like the whole election process, the end of the world. I mean, no, God's got a plan ahead. And so he puts things in perspective for us. And when we fail to praise, we often take credit instead of giving the credit back to the true source of all blessings. Ephesians 1:3 says this, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, eternal perspective, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything you need, you already have. I said, everything is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so that's why worship and praise brings peace. Fear can't survive in praise and worship. We remember that we are God's people, and he is in ultimate control of our lives. 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I don't know what's uncomfortable in your life. I don't know what kind of pressure you're facing this morning. But I do know this, God is able to take care of you. He's the God of all comfort. He's got everything, access to him to help you move through your process and make it through the victory. I pray that God can help us. I really do. I know that Psalm 71:14 is becoming a prayer of mine. He's going to help me find new ways to praise the Lord. He's going to help me. He's going to give me a big picture perspective with the kind of eternal mindset I'm talking about. You can be encouraged in knowing God will work it out. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. See? So when he's my priority, when I'm working out his life, then eternal perspective is full of balance and truth. In light of eternity, he was looking to God, not man. And in the long run, he knew God was going to make it right. Amen? And then we not only be encouraged in knowing God will work it out, we can be exhorted to be a part of what God's story, the God story that's happening in our life. God's writing your story. And you might be in a chapter right now that doesn't seem to be pleasant, you know? How many can't wait till 2020 is over? Just let me see your hand. You can't wait till 2020. I mean, it seems like bring on 21, got to be better than this. But what if, hypothetically, since I don't know the future, but God does, what about this fall could be the greatest fall we've ever had as a church in 75 years? See, because God's writing a story, we're not. God could eradicate a pandemic. God could get rid of it. He don't need a vaccine. How many know God is still God? He can do whatever he wants to do. We need to be exhorted to say, God, my life is your life. Your life is my life. I am my beloved's and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. And then finally, be excited to see what God can do in the next chapter. What is God going to do with you? Is this it? You know, sitting at home for 2 weeks, I'm thinking, my goodness, I survived going around the world and die of COVID. You know, it's just, it's strange that some pandemic or sickness or virus doesn't have the final say in my life. Until God's over with me and done with me, I'm going to keep on praising his name. And the same thing goes for Oak Grove Assembly of God. Go ahead and give him praise. He's not done with us till he's done with us. And so, as Chrissy and them come back, I'm done for the day. I'm done for the day. I've preached my heart to you. I get excited what God has planned for you, Oak Grove. Many years ago, over 20 years ago, God gave a word to this church that he was going to send a revival to this area, and he was going to use this church as a catalyst. And not long after that, in 2002, my wife and I came, and the Lord spoke a word to us, not even knowing who you were. We just received the church. And the Lord put a word on our hearts that God was going to send a mighty revival through this area, and he was going to use this church as be a spark, a catalyst. And many, many, many years before that in Springfield, Missouri, if you read about the history of the Assemblies of God, about springs of water coming up out of Springfield that was going to go around the world. I mean, some of that has already happened. God has used our community, and he's not done with us yet. So, Satan, if I were the devil, I'd try to snuff out your praise. I'd try to shut down your mission. I'd try to put your arms in a handcuff. I'd put a spirit of heaviness on you and depress you and oppress you and defeat you and defile you if I could, if I were the devil. But I'm not the devil. Amen. I got one amen. But I know there is a real devil who would like to just shut down the house of God. It's amazing what it takes to shut down the house of the Lord. So I want to ask you today, would you stand, please? Your desert can become an ocean when God finally gets your attention. I pray this morning that floods of joy and inner peace, inner stability, eternal perspective, balance, all of these things we talked about will lead you into praise. If life leads you into a cave of chaos, then learn how to sing in the cave. The Lord will bring you out. How many know if he allowed you to get in, how many believe he can get you out? So we need to examine ourselves at the altar this morning. Am I satisfied? Is there a deep inner satisfaction going on in my heart? Has the enemy stole my peace? Has he stole my joy? Do I really possess a strong desire for God's presence in my life? Or do I go through life wanting to be secular, being entertained by the secular culture? I mean, no, praise is not singing a song. It's way more than that. Fasting, prayer, study of the word, those are having priorities in your life. Do I have an eternal perspective this morning? Am I moving out in stable ways, or am I wishy-washy, up and down, happy today, depressed tomorrow? No stability. Do I fall apart every time a situation happens? All I have is one thing to say. Here's the challenge today. Pursue God the way God is pursuing you. Come on, lift your hands. Start pursuing God the way you know God is pursuing you. Your love is greater than my love. Your ways are greater than my ways. Jesus, your love is bigger than life.